Well, isn't God good? Boy, I tell you, he's awesome. Songs really ministered to me today. I hope you as well. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to jump into a verse here in just a second. But two things, if you have your phone, I try not to have my phone with me in case I don't turn it off and it rings during my message or something. That wouldn't be too good. But I know probably most of you have your phone. If you can pull it out and consider doing two things. One, check in on Facebook. And so if you would just go to Facebook and check in that you're here and just let other people know that you were in church this morning. And then hopefully that would open up an opportunity for you to share your faith. Secondly, we have a number for text in church. And so if you don't receive our information, maybe you're new here, or you've been coming a while, we have not had any contact with you, we'd love to minister to you, and just go ahead and text welcome to that number, and we would love to get in touch with you and minister to you and keep you updated about what's going on here. That would be great, and you can just leave as minimal information as you'd like, and as you feel comfortable. You know, we'd love to get more information and minister to you and help you learn how you can build relationships and become a part of what God's doing around here as well. And so go ahead and take some time to do that. So Brendan, great job on the wedding last weekend. I did a beach wedding and he cooked the meal for his little brother on his birthday. And that was fantastic. And so I appreciate that. Did a wedding here yesterday. Tony, fantastic. He did the whole thing. I did the rehearsal for his little brother Aaron, who got married. This had a family and a few friends for a wedding, and they were planning on doing that at one of the houses. The rain changed that, but Tony did a great job with the ceremony. And, you know, as I was thinking about the weekend, I was like, man, last couple of weeks, somebody else preaching, somebody else doing the wedding service and stuff, and like I'm getting to be the old man just sitting around and turning it over to the young guys, and which is what it's about, right? I mean, that's always been our desire, and to see so many young people going out from here involved in different ministries and really getting outside of the building here. And doing what God has called us to do. So go ahead and text that number if you don't have any of our information. We appreciate it. Josh, powerful, powerful testimony. Thank you for sharing that. Sobering, right? And I appreciate that. And that really goes along with the verse for the day, Isaiah 53, verse 10. I want to read this one verse, and then we'll be looking at this chapter a little bit more. Verse 10 says this, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Notice how it begins, "Ye are my witnesses." A few years ago, I had dropped my family off at a restaurant down by the University of Mary Washington, and we were going to eat some Mediterranean food, and I pulled over to a side parking lot to park, and I was walking back alone, and it was just about summertime, and I was getting ready to start a series on the book of Nehemiah. We were going to do a leadership series on Nehemiah, and I felt God just put this thought into my mind, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, and I just kind of like, you know, what are you doing that for, God? You know, what are you trying to say to me? It just kind of took me back a little bit, and I really felt like God would have us to do a series. And so in 2016, we did a series called This Is My Story, and I'm Sticking to It. And we had testimonies throughout the summer. Well, we're going to do that in 2018, and so we've called the series That's My Story, and I'm Going to Tell It. Our theme for the year is choices left the building. God wants us to go and take the message to the world around us. Really, the most important ministries for the pastors is not when they're here in the office, and the reality of the most important ministry isn't necessarily what we do here, but what we do when we leave this place. You know, some churches used to have a sign, they said, now you're entering the mission field. You're going out. That's our mission. That's what God wants us to do. It's one thing to tell our story in here, it's another to take that story around the world. world. Winston, I know you went hunting. I haven't got to talk to you too much about that, but he said, I'm going to the French-speaking country of Cameroon, and I have some extra room to take some clothing and stuff to these people that really have nothing. And I said, we will do it as a church on one condition. If we get some French gospel tracts, and along with the clothes and meeting those physical needs, we share the gospel. And thanks for taking that, and look forward to hearing some more detail. But that's what it's about. With Micah Ministry, we have feeding to the homeless, and we take care of their physical needs. But the reality, the most important, we meet their physical needs so we can meet the most important needs, their eternal needs, their spiritual needs in their life. So choices leaving the building this year. Our theme verse is 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors. We're God's representatives. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are in the place of God. God is not here physically. Jesus isn't here in his body anymore, and we are his body, and we are to be God's representative, to take that message to the world around us, to encourage people, to beseech them to be reconciled, to come back in their relationship with God. And one of the main ways we do that is 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse right above the verse about being God's representatives. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're to be transformed. We're to be different. The reason we're not to be like the world is so we can be a light to the world. In the midst of this darkness, we're not to be just like the world. God wants us to be different than the world. He wants us to act differently, to speak differently, to look differently, to be differently in our life. When I was in high school, I always wanted to be a witness. I've shared some stories with you before, but I remember one Monday, I went to school, and I really wanted to share my faith, and I didn't always, I wasn't always being that transformed person that God wanted me to be, but I thought, I'm going to try to take some opportunities this week. And so someone said, hey, Tim, what'd you do over the weekend? And I thought, I got it. And I said, I went to church. And they looked at me and said, Tim Wilcox, you went to church? And I went to church every Sunday all of my life. And they said, Tim, you go to church? And I was like, man, what do they think I am, a heathen, you know? I mean, what's going on in my life? And, you know, I wanted to be a witness. There were times in my life, there were things that weren't pleasing to God. And I knew that God, and maybe it was Satan, was holding me back because of some of those things. And I knew that God wasn't pleased with some of the actions that I had, you know, when I was away from church. We are to be God's representative. That's why at Easter time we went to Curtis Park, where there was a lot of people, and to share our faith. We do different outreaches. We feed the homeless. We do our monthly MRI connection, where we encourage people to get together. On the 4th of July, we have an opportunity to share our faith down in Fredericksburg. The Stars and Stripes Spectacular, and I think we have a picture of that, don't we, Jeremy? We'll see if we do here, but the Stars and Stripes Spectacular. Look at that, 6 to 7 o'clock. There's about 10,000 people at the Spotsylvania Courthouse, maybe even more, and they have a new stage, a children's stage, and we are going to be there from 6 to 7 o'clock, and this is what they've put out, Choice Baptist Church's Fusion Puppet Show. Now, you know what? We better be on target if 10 or more thousands of people come to this event, and it's getting promoted pretty extensively in our area. Why would we do it? Because we want to share Christ's love to the community around us. Fusion is about uniting people together, sharing Christ's love, demonstrating that love. That's why we're active in doing the things we are. And then also, next Sunday, we have a missionary that's going to be with us. And the night before, this coming Saturday, we have a special gathering together called the Taste of Romania. And we're getting together to promote the mission trip where we have, how many people are going, Josh? About 14 people from our church are going to Romania on a mission trip to share Christ's love and to minister to a place where every Christmas we take up an offering and support a manna feeding center. In the last several years, we've been supporting this feeding center, and they're going to go to where our church feeds these children on a regular basis, and they're going to be ministering to them. I mean, it's exciting. So come and hear more about it. And then next Sunday, we're taking up a special offering for missions so they can get there and so we can better minister to those people. So join us next Sunday. Why would we do it? Because Isaiah 53:10 says, "Ye are my witnesses." A witness, this word means a testimony, or it's somebody that records things. They duplicate it, they repeat it. Basically, they just share their experience. They share what has happened to them, what they've heard, what they've seen, what they lived out. That's what a witness is. Now, here's a question. When you hear that word, a witness, you know, God says that we are to witness. Just think for a minute. Does something scary come to mind or something very exciting? Like, we're called to be witnesses. We're to take our faith, to share our story. How many, and I'm going to raise my hand here, it's kind of scary when you hear that word, I'm to be a witness. Anybody else? All right, yeah, oh boy, you know, am I going to be a street preacher? I'm going out, going to tell people they're going to hell, you know. Do I have to go and knock on somebody's door and tell them about Christ? Do I have to go to a complete stranger and, you know, give them a gospel tract? Do I have to invite them to church? Do I have to be different? Do I have to be a car salesman, an outgoing personality, you know, try to get certain things to happen? It can be kind of a scary thing, but really it should be an exciting thing because we're sharing what God is doing in our life. And I want to look at the context. It's one thing I always try to do when we look at the Bible, is really what's being said when God is talking to his people about being witnesses here. So let's look at the story here a little bit. So we're in the book of Isaiah. Is that Old Testament or New Testament? I knew you guys were scholars. Great job. Half of you got that. So that's pretty good. We're in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament, primarily talking about the nation of Israel, right? And so we have Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. God has these special people. They ended up going into captivity in Egypt. If you recall that, Moses brought them out of captivity. And then they became a mighty nation. They went into the promised land. David made them this powerful nation. But then they got kind of complacent. They started coasting a little bit. And when you start coasting, you're going downhill. They got comfortable where they were, and they wanted to be like the other nations around them. They had become quite powerful, and then they started wanting to be like other people around them. And they started creating idols just like the foreign nations around them. And so God sent the prophets. He sent the prophet Isaiah here to say, "You're going away from me. And if you continue going away from me, you're going to get off track." And so God does something really amazing here in Isaiah chapter 43. In verse 9, I want you to look at verse 9 and see what it says here. The prophet is saying in place of God here, "Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled." He's gathering all the people together. What God is basically doing is calling for a courtroom here. He has a courtroom scene. And he's gathering all the people around him, all the nations around, and he's saying to the nations around them, "I want you all to come, and this is what I want you to do. Who among them can declare this and show the former things?" I want you to tell me about your religion. I want you to tell me about your gods. I'm sure some were saying, "Well, you know, I believe the cosmos is my God. I pray to the moon. I pray to the sun. I pray to the stars. I look at the mythology of the sky." Some said, "Well, I made this image. This is my God. This is who I pray to. I made this beautiful image. I spent a lot of money. I put gold around it. I have jewels around it. This is the God that I pray to." Others said, "I don't have any God at all. I don't pray to any God at all. I'm an atheist. That's why I fight against God, because there is no God." And I'm thinking, okay, why do people that don't believe in God get so worked up about God, right? There must be some belief that they have. Maybe some people said, "Well, I'm good enough to get to heaven on my own," or "I'm sincere," or, you know, "God just loves everybody and everything, you know, there's no problem with anything." And he says, "I want you to witness. Tell me what you believe about me, and tell me what you believe about history, the former things. What do you believe? What is your worldview about what life is all about? Tell me about your religion. Tell me about your beliefs." God calls the courtroom. He gathers the nations. And he says, let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. How do you receive the forgiveness of sins? I want to know. This is what God's doing in his courtroom. He's gathering everybody together and he's saying, hey, in my courtroom, I'm going to allow you to speak. Tell me what you have to say. What is it that you believe? And then he says in verse 10, speaking to the nation of Israel, now, you're my witnesses. They shared what they had to say. Now in God's courtroom, I want you to share. And the reality is, this earth is God's courtroom. We're in God's courtroom here, and God is wanting us to tell people about our God. What do we believe about this world? What do we believe about our worldview, our beliefs, our perspectives? You are my witnesses. I want you to tell your story. I want you to share your experiences. That's what I want you to do as my witnesses. Now, most of us said that's kind of scary for us. So how do we do that? And a few weeks ago, I talked about sharing our story, and we said three things. Tell people what happened before you were a Christian. Tell people how you became a Christian. And third, tell people how your life is different since you've become a Christian. And if our life is not different since becoming a Christian, we probably need to go back to the second point. How did you come to know Jesus? Because if we're a follower of Jesus, our life needs to change, right? My life before, how I became a Christian, my life after becoming a believer. And I think that's a really good order, but as I looked at Isaiah 43, I really see the motivation of witnessing and sharing the gospel with people around us. How can we really be the witnesses that God wants us to be? And I just want to share a couple quick things with you. First of all, share what God has done. Look at verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. Look at what God has done. I have chosen you. God is the one that's coming after us. That's how much God loves you and I. He chose us. He's coming after us. Look what he says in verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob. You see, this is the beginning of our worldview. Either God created the world or he didn't, right? Either there is a God or there's not a God. I mean, I don't think any of us here can fully prove it. It comes back to our belief systems. But God is saying here, if you want to be my witnesses, first, believe that I'm your creator. Jesus said this in John chapter 5. He said, if you don't believe what Moses had to say about me, you're not going to believe what I have to say about myself. And what did Moses say? In the beginning, what? God. Now, that's either true or it's not. And if we're going to be a witness, we start off with God being our creator. God is the creator here. I created you, Jacob. And then he says, and I formed you, O Israel. I crafted you. I designed you. I uniquely made you. From the moment of our conception, no matter what the circumstances were, God designed that. And that infant was created in the image of God. And from that birth, God has brought us through circumstances and plans, and some of you have gone through very difficult circumstances, and some of you maybe have made it worse on yourself at times, and we go through different situations in life, and here we are today. Why? Because God is forming us. He's molding us. He's making us. He uniquely made you, you. I remember 26 years ago, Paul and I were going around looking for areas to start this church, and we weren't sure at that point. We were finishing up ministry and ministry training and school and those kind of things. And then I was getting ordained. And I remember it was really about me, make sure I was theologically trained and those kind of things. But they wanted to talk with Paula, and so they would ask questions about her. Well, do you sing? Do you play the piano? Do you teach? And then when we started the church, people asked those questions again. Yeah, we even looked at going to some churches and taking over some churches. We weren't exactly sure what we were going to do and stuff. And so we talked to some different people, and people would say, hey, Paula, that's great. You're a pastor's wife. So what do you do? And do you play the piano? No, I don't play the piano. Oh, well, do you sing? No, I don't have a very good voice. I don't sing. Oh, so you're a teacher? No, I don't like to get in front of groups really and teach. So what do? And that was very encouraging to her in the early years. I'll just say that. And I said, you know what a good pastor's wife does is a pastor to a wife to a pastor. Let me get that straight. Yeah. She pastors me sometimes too, and pesters me sometimes too when I say something I shouldn't. That's why I gave up sarcasm quite a while ago. And anyway, he created us, he formed us. And notice what verse 1 continues to say. If you're new here, sometimes I get sarcastic. Rarely, but so just to let you know, that's what happens around here. But look at verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee. That's pretty powerful. What has God done in your life? He is my redeemer. Look at verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So that's a question. Are you saved? Is Jesus your Savior? See, he created us, he formed us, he redeemed us, he called us. He saved us. That's what he's done in our life, and that's our story. Maybe you were saved as a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and you've never been in the world. You don't have a story like the prodigal, like Josh told, and you say, I really just don't have a good story. Listen, you have the greatest story of all because you've been saved from sin because you never got involved in it. Thank God for your Christian heritage. But many of us, maybe we got off track and went the wrong direction, or maybe we weren't brought up right, and God saved you. He delivered you. Israel, you're my witnesses. You know what I want you to witness about? What God's done in your life. He's your Savior. What has God done for you? You know, the reality is the world doesn't make sense without a Christian worldview. I mean, the reality is with a Christian worldview, there's a lot of things I can't explain. I'm going to be doing a funeral this week for somebody I grew up with, and their child died. I'm going to tell you, these things just don't make sense, and I don't have all the answers. But I tell you, the best worldview is the Christian worldview, and I don't have all the answers, and I'm waiting, looking forward to getting to heaven so I can have more of those answers and throughout all eternity. But if you don't believe in God and you don't have any sense that just everything just happened by accident, man, there's no hope. No wonder people do what they do. But we have a Creator. We have a Redeemer. We have a Savior. See, what has God done in your life? That's your story. So let's be witnesses. But secondly, look back at verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. See, being a witness is not just what God has done, but it's also about what we're to do. What are we to do? First of all, I'm to know God. It's an interesting word. It really goes back to the word where the idea where Adam knew Eve. There was an intimate relationship. They knew each other completely. We could say that we know who certain popular people are, but do you really know them? You'd say, no, I don't know them personally. You could know their stats. You could know their birthdays. You could know their music, their sports, or whatever you might say, but do you really know them? This word is an intimate word, and God says, I want you to know me. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to trust me. I want you to share, and I want to share intimate things out of my word with you. I want you to know me. See, it's one thing to know about God. Also, we can even know about the Bible. We can know about doctrines we brought up in church, but do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know me? And then secondly, he said, do you believe me? I want you to know me, and I want you to believe me. I have a little quote here I want to give to you. Beth Moore, she's a popular Christian author, and she wrote something about this verse. As forcefully as God has ever spoken to my heart, he said, you believe in me, Beth. Now I want you to believe me. The words "believe me" arose out of Isaiah 53:10, like a dead man leaping to his feet. Believe me, believe me, believe me. Those two words have echoed unceasingly in my mind ever since. Do it, dear one. No more business as usual. From here to eternity. Live by faith, live out loud, and never stop believing God. Believe me. You see, he is the only one. The main lesson that Isaiah is giving here, he's saying, you created idols. You formed these idols, Israel. You're acting like everybody else around you. You're no different than them, and you've gone apostate. You've gone away from me. You've gone into a spiritually adulterous relationship. Isaiah comes on the scene, and he's saying, what are these gods that you have? They can't hear. They can't see. They can't do anything. What is all this about? I mean, you have a God. Know me. Believe me. Look at verse 11. Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Are all religions good? Can they all get you to heaven? Well, God's pretty clear here. There's only one Savior. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, I don't know what you were taught growing up, or maybe you were taught right and you're just getting back from college and you've been being taught some things, and you know, they say, well, there's some errors in the Bible, it's not scientifically accurate and those kind of things, and maybe your faith is kind of crumbling right now. Well, get back into God's Word, because he won't fail you. Maybe you've tried to do right, live right, raise your family right, and things haven't turned out quite like you thought they would. And you said, man, is this thing all real? You know, times we go through doubt, and I just want to encourage you to do what God said here. Believe me. Just believe him. Trust him and be my witnesses. So the third thing, and we've already kind of dealt with it, if we're going to be a witness, we need to know what God has done. We need to understand what we're to do, because we're to live that transformed life, right? God wants us to be different from the world, not to be just like him. And the third, if we're going to be a good witness, not just understanding what God has done, but who he is. Look again at verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. He's gathered him in God's courtroom. And he said, and you're my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. I really want you to understand, not just have a head knowledge, but understand it in your heart, that he loves you so incredibly, that God is holy and righteous, that he has a plan for your life. There is no Savior but him. And look what verse 25 says. Even I, am he that blotteth out your transgressions. I get rid of them. And I will not remember your sins. Well, Pastor Steve preached on that last week, didn't he? The woman at the well, her life was kind of messed up. And it's interesting, because last week in our message, we talked about worship, and this week we're talking about evangelism. And the reality, when we talked about worship in John 4, guess what was going on? He was doing evangelism. He was witnessing. He was sharing the good news, the message there. You don't separate them. We're here to glorify God and to fulfill the Great Commission. We take that message. We share our love with Christ, and we share Christ's love with the world. That's what we're here for. We love each other. We care for each other. And just think for a second, all the things that we stress out about. You know, something doesn't go right at church sometimes, things don't go right on the job, something in the family, we get all worked up, we get upset, but the reality is, if you're saved, you're going to heaven forever and ever and ever. And there are loved ones and people all around the world that aren't going to heaven unless we're his witnesses. And we get so caught up with so much that we do what Josh talked about earlier. We forget to tell the most important story. We don't talk about the most important issue. And so today we're gathered in God's courtroom. And God is just simply saying to every one of us that know Jesus as Savior, you are my witnesses. I want you to go out of here and tell people what I've done for you. And I want you to do the right things, and I want you to remember, understand that I am He. Let's just bow our heads for just a minute. As the team comes, I just want to ask you just a simple thought here. Somebody come to your mind? Maybe there's somebody that's not actively in church right now. Maybe you believe they're saved, they're a family member, a loved one, a dear friend. Why don't you just pray for them right now? Just say in your heart, you're going to be an encouragement to help them spiritually. Or maybe you're just going to start with praying for them. Or more than likely, there's probably someone in your life, whether it's a grandparent, a grandchild, or somewhere in between, a family member or a friend, a co-worker or a fellow student, somebody you play sports with, somebody you hang out with on weekends, and you're not certain that they're going to heaven. And God says, hey, I want you to be my witness. Let's be His witnesses to take that message of what God has done, what He's doing, and who He is. I know even this Wednesday, there's a class that Josh is leading. The mission team is going to be in there, and they're going to be talking about sharing their story, sharing their faith. Who is it in your sphere of influence? That you can take the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to? Start praying for them. Spend some time with them. Be an encouragement to them. Just accept them right where they are so they can begin to understand God's love and then start pouring your life into Him. Telling your story, letting the Word of God take effect that they could have faith in Jesus just like you, that their life could be changed just like you. Dear God, here we are. We're available. Speak to us, and God, speak through us. May we be your witnesses in your courtroom this week. Let's stand as we sing.